Today on Off to the Races, the first Grade 1 stakes in the history of Colonial Downs take place this afternoon. Laurel Park hosts two stakes Sunday. Plus, legal matters, racing events around the state, and more. All coming up, right now.
We're off to the races, powered by The Racing Biz, your independent voice for Mid-Atlantic racing and breeding. On the web at www.theracingbiz.com. And on the radio every Saturday morning, it's Off to the Races. Here's your host.
Good morning and welcome everybody to Off to the Races Radio, powered by The Racing Biz. My name's Frank Vespi, and for the next 60 minutes, we're going to be talking thoroughbred racing and breeding in Maryland, around the Mid-Atlantic, and across the country. Today's show, as always, powered by The Racing Biz, theracingbiz.com. That's the website. Got the social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatnot. Look for at The Racing Biz. And of course, our free mobile app. Always keep up with the latest news and info about Mid-Atlantic racing and breeding of the thoroughbred variety. Of course, mobile app, you can get it off our website. Good for your Apple and Android devices, so you never miss a beat. Always keep up to date. We've got just a ton of things to do. We are going to dive in momentarily here. Do want to give a quick shout out to our show's supporters, including the Maryland Horse Breeders Association, Wanamakers.com online horse auction site, the Stallion True Valor standing at Northview, and Richard Hackerman, attorney at law. RichardHackerman.com is the website. Today, the biggest day in Virginia racing history, Grade 1 Beverly D, Grade 1 Arlington Million, and Grade 2 Secretariat Stakes, all transferred from Arlington Park when it was shuttered by its owners, Churchill Downs, to their new property, Colonial Downs. A huge day at Colonial. Tomorrow, we've got two stakes at Laurel Park, the Searching and the Bald Eagle Derby. We got racing today at Delaware, racing at Charlestown. So lots of stuff going on in the Mid-Atlantic. Huge show today. We got Jill Byrne going to be joining me from the Virginia Equine Alliance. Nick Hahn going to be in the handicap, the big stakes at Colonial Downs. Trainer Graham Motion's got two in the races at Colonial, two in the races at Laurel. He's going to join me. He's coming up towards past the halfway point of the show. And John Piazzik of the Maryland Horse Breeders Association, also going to be in the house, do a little handicapping of Laurel, as well as talk about what's going on at the MHBA. So let's dive right in right now. Want to talk about legal matters in horse racing with Richard Hackerman. Good morning, Richard. Thanks for joining me here on Off to the Races. I wanted to bring you in. We just had news a couple of weeks ago about Jason Service, a one-time trainer, the trainer of Maximum Security, who made like $10 million and was first across the wire in the Kentucky Derby. He just got sentenced to 4 years in prison for his role in a sort of wide-ranging scheme, also involving another high-profile trainer, Jorge Navarro, to do what Jorge Navarro bragged about, to juice horses and profit from that. Wanted to get your take on what's going on here.
Well, it was the conclusion of a multi-year investigation and certainly a multi-year charging process that, you know, finally brought Service down. I believe he got a four-year sentence, $300,000 forfeiture and restitution and a fine. I guess it reflects on a relatively, at least in part, sad state of horse racing in this country. Him and Navarro, Service and Navarro, probably the two most high-profile trainers, you know, that went down, although there was a guy at Parks, one of their leading trainers, was involved in it, as well as a bunch of drug manufacturers, distributors, and veterinarians.
Yeah, it's quite a thing, and I think talk a little bit about how they got these guys, because I think it's going to point to challenges with HISA and regulation basically going forward. I mean, it's a tricky business. So talk a little bit about how they caught these guys.
Well, and that's the most interesting part about it is they had extensive wiretapping of Service and Navarro and others, and they basically got them in their own words, admitting they were using these performance enhancing substances. I mean, they were admitting they were juicing. They were talking about it with each other, and I guess that reflects, you know, in part a rather sad state of the enforcement process that we have in this country, because if the drug testing isn't picking up on the biggest cheaters in the sport, it's a problem, and it's certainly a problem going forward. Obviously, the federal government is not going to keep funding wide ranging investigations forever involving horse racing.
Which, I mean, probably to the benefit of a lot of people, but isn't that, Richard, a problem in sort of sports in general, that the kind of the cheaters with these, you know, different supplements and drugs and whatnot, aren't they always kind of a step ahead of the regulators? Wasn't that sort of the Lance Armstrong thing as well?
It was absolutely the Lance Armstrong thing. As I remember, you know, the Lance Armstrong, I think they like froze his blood, and when the testing got better years ago, were able to prove he was cheating. And, you know, he was like denying it forever. He went on Oprah denying it. And that does seem to be always the state of affairs, that the cheaters, that the good cheaters, if there is such a thing, or the successful cheaters, to use a better word, are always one step ahead.
Which is certainly going to be a challenge for the horse racing's new regulators, the Horse Racing Integrity and Safety Authority. And I think one last thing to touch on this situation is, obviously, the betting public is defrauded. Other owners are defrauded when, you know, when people cheat like this, because they're getting money that others might have gotten. But you also... It also has a real cost for the horses. I mean, you know, XY Jet was a Navarro horse, made a couple $1 million and died. Maximum Security was found to be on this growth hormone. So there are horses paying a price here too as well.
I mean, to the extent that lame horses are running on substances that do not, you know, permit them to feel the pain of their injured joints, it is absolutely a critical safety issue for horses, and it's, you know, it's obviously very dangerous, and clearly lengthens a horse's career, if not their life. And you're right, it is a defrauding of the public. It is a defrauding of the bettors, and perhaps. And just as concerning, of course, is it means the honest horsemen have a tougher time making a living and playing on a level playing field, because they're not playing on a level playing field.
No, I think that's exactly right. RichardHackerman.com is his website. He handles a variety of cases involving horse racing and the law around horse racing. So RichardHackerman.com. Richard, thanks for joining us to talk about these legal matters.
Thank you very much for inviting me, Frank, and keep up the excellent work.
That was Richard Hackerman with his periodic feature, Legal Matters, talking about some of the legal issues that occur from time to time here in the world of horse racing. As I said, a lot to do on this show. Coming up in a little bit, maybe about 12 or 13 minutes, Nick Hahn going to join me and handicap the races this afternoon from Colonial Downs. After that, Graham Motion, trainer, is going to be in the house. He's got a couple in at Colonial. Also has a couple in at Laurel on Sunday in the stakes there. He'll be by to talk with us about that. And John Piazzik is going to close out the hour, the last 12 minutes of the show or so. So start looking for him around 10:45. John going to join us, talk about some things going on with Maryland Horse Breeders Association, and also help us handicap Sunday's two turf stakes at Laurel Park. So plenty of action still to come here on Off to the Races Radio, powered by the Racing Biz. Up now, I spoke with Jill Byrne. Jill now works for the Virginia Equine Alliance. That's the
group that kind of the umbrella group that represents horsemen and breeders and whatnot in Virginia that was really instrumental in keeping racing alive there while Colonial Downs was closed for 6 years. But before she worked for the VEA, she actually was the chief of racing at Colonial for the first 4 years. So she's got a sort of special interest in the track having two grade ones on the docket today, plus the grade two secretariat. One of those grade ones, the Beverly D, is a win and you're in for the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf. So pretty big stuff. Some horses potentially looking at Breeders' Cup dates down the road if things go well today. Here is my conversation with Jill Byrne. Jill, good morning. Welcome to Off to the Races. Thanks for making some time with us. This is going to be a pretty momentous day in Virginia racing history.
All right. Isn't this exciting? All of those years of everybody's real hard work and patience and diligence to be able to get to a weekend like this coming up. It's very exciting and just, you know, big and obviously very historic for Virginia.
Yeah, it really is. And I was thinking before, I mean, remembering back just a few years, and I'm sure you knew what was going on, although you weren't in Virginia at the time, but just a few years ago, they were running a race or two in Maryland to try to, you know, fly the flag and trying to figure out what the future of Virginia racing would look like. It would have been really hard, I would think, for somebody to see from that moment to this one.
Well, you know, there were so many people involved during that time. The Virginia Horsemen, the HBPA, the Virginia Equine Alliance, the, you know, Virginia Thoroughbred Association, just so many good people in the state of Virginia who worked so hard, so diligently to figure out how to be able to keep this going when there was no racing, you know, in Virginia during that time, no thoroughbred racing, paramutual racing. So, you know, kudos to everybody that came long before me. To be able to do that, to be innovative between the Virginia certified program, you know, finding a place to run these races, having the OTBs open, to be able to keep things going and to allow, you know, when that day finally did come and Colonial back up in 2019 to where we are today. So I commend all those people that stuck with it and, you know, they deserve to reap the rewards now.
Yeah, no, it's been quite a journey for them. Now, you were there on the team of Colonial Downs. Now you're with the Virginia Equine Alliance. But when you started at Colonial back in 19, when it reopened, did you guys have in mind that races, obviously not these specific races, but races like this, grade one races, would be run here in Virginia?
Oh, well, certainly that's always, you know, that's always your dream and your focus and your goals. And for me, you know, having always been involved in racing at a very high level, from working, you know, Churchill Downs, Keeneland, working for the Breeders' Cup. I mean, absolutely my goals were to make sure that Virginia racing and racing at Colonial Downs would get, you know, to that high level and with the purse structure that, you know, we had, that we started with, and the purse structure, you know, as it is today, when you have good purses like that and a great facility, you're going to attract, you know, good horses, good horsemen. And also, you know, horsemen knew me, they knew my team, and they knew, you know, that we were here to mean business and to do things at a very, very high level. So it was always in my mind that eventually Colonial Downs would, you know, be hosting big races. The Virginia Derby and the Colonial Cup back in the day, you know, were very good races. So working to get those back up to the stature they were. But obviously with Churchill being able to bring races like the Arlington Million, the Beverly D, and the Secretariat here now this year, I mean, obviously, you know, the closing of Arlington, but still those races coming to Colonial have certainly made me feel like the last 4 years have done something to make this place, this facility, the kind of place that people feel those races deserve to be here. and that this place, you know, can have races like that. And, you know, you've been here. It's a phenomenal facility. The two racetracks, second to none, you know, beautiful stable areas. So, yeah, very proud of everything that's happened in Virginia, and really excited to see what Churchill can continue to do and the investments that they're making in Colonial Downs for the future.
Well, and it's particularly sort of an interesting moment. You've got a lot of uncertainty in your neighbor to the north in Maryland. So there seems like it's there's real opportunities here looking ahead for Colonial.
Yeah, I think so. You know, and that obviously, you know, Churchill saw that and just saw the potential at a place like Virginia and Colonial Downs. And, you know, so here they are now with this phenomenal race meet and facility. And I think, you know, as more days get added eventually when that happens, it's really going to be a destination place for a lot of stables to come. Look at the stables that are running here, that have been running here the last 4 years and continue to run here now. I just see the sky's the limit, and that's kind of what I told the guys at Churchill when, you know, they made the announcement that they were buying Colonial. And I said, you know, this, the state of Virginia, Colonial Downs, the racing here, really, you know, we're just getting started, and you all have the support and the resources to really take this on to the next level. And so, you know, just how exciting it is that they're involved and seeing where it's all going.
We're talking with Jill Byrne of the Virginia Equine Alliance and formerly the head of racing at Colonial Downs. And Jill, you just said something that kind of triggered a question for me. When you started here, I mean, one of the things that has been striking right from the get-go is the overnight purses at Colonial are really fantastic and far better than elsewhere in the Mid-Atlantic. But like that first year or two, the stakes purses were fine, but they lagged behind the overnight purses in the sense of they didn't make you go like, wow. Now it seems like they're starting to catch up too. And I'm curious, was that kind of a strategy to establish yourselves with horsemen around the country and then sort of enhance the top end?
Oh, yeah. I mean, definitely. You know, you have to, your bread and butter, you have to have your races. You've got your bread and butter races of, you know, the day and the horsemen that support you all the time. So you have to have those races and with good quality purses to be able to attract the good horses, the good horsemen. You know, that's, like I said, that's kind of your bread and butter. And then start building on the stakes program. So you reestablish yourself as a quality racing place. And I think people needed to know. There were a lot of questions about Colonial. It had been, you know, there hadn't been racing here for 5 years. Nobody knew the, you know, Peninsula Pacific Entertainment, the company that had bought it. Nobody was familiar with them as a racetrack operator. So it was really starting from zero. And I think a lot of people needed to see what it was going to be like, what kind of racing, what kind of facility were we going to be. So, you know, for me, that's why I made a point to go out and try to hire and get the best teams I could assemble and make this a place that people, you know, respected as, hey, you know, they're doing a good job there. They're trying. They take care of the horsemen. They've got a great facility, and they're going in the right direction. So then you start building your stakes program. And that's what we've done, kind of started the last year. And then obviously this year, you know, with Churchill, they've really, really pushed to add to the stakes program, and it's great.
Yeah, excuse me. And it seems like they've indicated they have additional plans, including potentially a Kentucky Derby points race, which would be exciting. But you've got a Breeders' Cup win, and you're in here. Anybody going to be whispering in the Breeders' Cup's ears at some point? You know, maybe Colonial Downs.
Yeah, well, as you know, before I came to Virginia, before they hired me to run Colonial Downs, I was working at the Breeders' Cup with Dora Delgado and running the Win and You're In Challenge program. And, you know, I loved working at the Breeders' Cup with Dora, just a phenomenal team and such a high standard, high level of operations, which I feel I learned a lot from Dora, about, you know, racing operations at the high level. And so I talked with her in 2019 when I got here, and I said, you know, I said, one day, Dora, maybe we'll have a Breeders' Cup win in your in race here. And look, we had the Beverly D, and then we talked about, you know, maybe one day could it possibly host a Breeders' Cup. And I know everything that goes into, you know, the infrastructure that has to be in place for that. So it's a lot more than just having phenomenal sure. tracks and stable area and everything else. But so, yeah, I mean, it would be great for Virginia. Virginia has such a deep history, you know, in deep history of the Breeders' Cup. D.G. Van Cleef, you know, is president of Breeders' Cup, is a Virginian. So, you know, there's a lot of connection there. But, and you know, the first year, 2019, the winner of our inaugural Rosie Stakes went on to yep. win the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Sprint four-wheel drive. So yep. I was kind of one for one there.
Yeah, no, that was a pretty splashy way to start, for sure. So we've got the Secretariat Stakes teed up here for Saturday's card, one of the a grade two for three-year-olds, but and you also have two grade ones, but it's a really nice connection to see the Secretariat Stakes that's coming to Virginia for the first time, Secretariat's birthplace, and being run on the turf course named for him. That's a lot of kind of synergy there.
Oh my goodness, right? Named for him in the state where he was born and raised, and you know, it couldn't be a better fit. No, it's just fantastic to have a race like that here, you know, and Penny Chenery had a, you know, obviously a great connection to Virginia, but also with Arlington, and that's how the Secretariat Stakes got to be there in the first place. She was very good friends with Mr. Duchessois. So to have kind of full circle and have that race here is just fantastic. The Secretariat Stakes on the Secretariat Turf Course and the 50th anniversary of Secretariat's Triple Crown in his home state. Does it get any better?
That's a lot
there's
of Secretariat
a,
right there.
Yeah, there's a trifecta for you.
Now, is there one of the three big races or any horses in the race that you're especially excited to see?
Oh, you know, I'm just so excited to see this level of horses here. You know, obviously Arlington Million with horses like Rock Emperor and you know, last year's winner, Santine. I think, you know, obviously having Silver Knot for Godolphin, having Godolphin really support this is fantastic. So, you know, for me and in my new role, it's great to be able to see that something, you know, that I worked so hard for the last 4 years to establish the reputation of Colonial as a top class place, being able to get stables like this to all show up. So I think, you know, Saturday is just going to be an incredible day.
It should be a lot of fun. Last question, we'll let you go. Anybody who went to the races at Colonial over the last few years when you were working there always knew where to find you because you were pretty much everywhere, including the paddock and hosing down horses after the race and in the winner's circle. Where are we going to find you Saturday?
You will find me quite a few places. Again, I will be working with you know, VEA. We have a lot of very special guests coming that day to the races. So I will be entertaining. I'll be the, you know, co-hostess there with the Moses, entertaining a lot of our guests and making sure that, you know, helping make sure connections and horsemen and everybody makes their way down to the paddock where they need to be, to various places, and really just, you know, being there to talk to people about how great this is and what a wonderful event to have the Colonial Festival of Racing and these races here in my home state, Virginia, at a track that I feel, you know, a big part of being a part of where it is today. So it's a great sense of pride for I think all of us, and a really big day in the history of Virginia. So it's going to be very exciting. It looks like the weather is going to be fine. So yeah, I just look forward to a safe and very successful day of racing here.
Yep, let's hope for both of those things. Jill Byrne, thank you so much. I hope you and the team get to take a minute and enjoy the day on Saturday, and good luck with everything.
We will. Thank you so much for having me on.
Jill Byrne there from the Virginia Equine Alliance, and as we discussed, three graded stakes on tap this afternoon at Colonial Downs.
the Grade 2 Secretariat for three-year-olds, the Grade 1 Arlington Million for older runners, and the Grade 1 Beverly D for older fillies and mares. That latter one, the Beverly D, a win and you're in for the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf. Let us now turn our attention, now that we've sort of set the stage, I wanted to handicap a couple of these races. Going to bring in Nick Hahn here. Nick is the host of our sister show, Off to the Races Virginia, and he also handicaps Colonial Downs every day of live racing. His Nick's picks are available on theracingbiz.com. Let's see if Nick can point us the way to some winners. Nick, good morning. Thanks for joining me here on Off to the Races. Biggest day of racing maybe in Virginia history. You got to be pretty revved up.
Absolutely. It definitely is the biggest day with the two Grade Ones. The Secretariat Stakes coming home to Virginia is going to be very impactful, with Secretariat being a Virginia bred, of course. And the two Grade Ones we've never seen. The Virginia Derby, even when it was worth $1 million, never reached that Grade One status. So in many ways, it's kind of ironic. The first Grade One to be run at Colonial Downs will actually be the Beverly D, which is the race run right before the Arlington Million. But it's a super card. There's a little bit of a dull ache because these are Arlington's races being run at Colonial. But if it has to be run anywhere, Colonial is probably the best home for these races.
All right, let's dive in then to the Grade 2 Secretariat. That's really kind of your bailiwick, three-year-old boys on the turf going a mile here. Pretty nice field, some old friends, Nagarok, Mostache, Major Dude, horses we've seen running good races kind of around the country. What's your take here? This is a race that should have a real impact on the three-year-old turf division. What are you seeing?
Oh, absolutely. With the kind of debacle of what happened with the Hall of Fame being rescheduled, one of the benefits is that Nagarok, a horse that set the track record at Pimlico over Preakness weekend in the James Murphy, came down to Colonial Downs, was originally going to run up at Saratoga when the remainder of that card got scratched because of inclement weather. Graham Motion decided to bring Nagarok here. So I think the field of eight, and I think it's just as the Secretariat sort of finds its new home in the three-year-old turf schedule, it's going to maybe and have that purse and very good likelihood. I could see this race moving to Grade One status relatively quickly at Colonial. More trainers are going to be looking at this race. A horse like a Major Dude who won the Penn Mile. The Secretariat, of course, has run it a mile. Major Dude, we know well from the Triple Crown chase that he was in. He almost entered the Kentucky Derby. Very versatile horse. And Pletcher brings this horse, kind of gets a new jockey here with Tyler Gaffalione. But Major Dude is a major player in this race. One thing we'll talk about a little bit as we talk about all these races is there are a number of horses here with Colonial Downs ties to the past. And Gigante is a horse like that. This is a horse that won the Kitten's Joy last year as a two-year-old and has been around the country a little bit, at least the Midwest, Keeneland, Churchill, Indiana Grand and Ellis Park before coming back to Colonial, finishing a fine third in the Edward P. Evans, but that'll be a local horse that people can pull up on. And then Mostache will probably be the pace setter in this race. It will be there with Nagarok. So it's the field of eight. It's a very interesting field. And really kind of looking forward to Northern Invader has been pointed to this race for months with John Velasquez aboard for Cherie DeVoe. So that's sort of another interesting horse in this field. Silver Knot with Jamie Spencer coming in to ride Silver Knot an English bred for Charles Appleby. There are a number of players in this race.
All right, but who's going to win?
Well, I'm going to have to lean on Nagarok. This is a horse that I've been watching for some time. Really, Graham Motion knows how to win the Virginia Derby. He's won it. He had that odd sort of something that'll never be duplicated. He's won the Virginia Derby. What did he do? He won it three times over 5 years consecutively at two different tracks. So that's a record that I don't think will ever be duplicated just because of the circumstances surrounding it. But he loves to win here. He knows the track. And I just kind of like Nagarok here in the Secretariat.
All right, Nagarok, the pick there. We're going to have Graham Motion on in the very next segment here to talk about Nagarok and some other horses. Another one he's got in on the Colonial card, and also two he's got in at Laurel on Sunday and stakes up there. Now, we're going to kind of jump over the Beverly D. Beverly D is a win, and you're in for the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf. It's a pretty interesting group of horses there. You got Didia, who won at Colonial a year ago. Graham Motion back with Romagna Mia. Fev Rover is the favorite there for Mark Cassie. Two races removed from a grade two win in the Nassau. Nick, let's jump ahead quickly to the Arlington Million. That's going to be race 10 on an 11 race program. And just a couple minutes here left in the segment. So I'll stop talking. Tell me what you see in the Arlington Million.
You know, these races at Colonial have offered a number of opportunities to local riders, the regular day riders at Colonial Downs. We've seen everybody from Ryan Fogelsonger to Horacio Caramanis to Forrest Boyce to jockeys like that win these big races, kind of rise up from time to time to do that. I think it's kind of interesting to see a jockey like Caramanis on Strong Tide. You know, this is a horse that's been pointed for the Million for a long time. Had an opportunity to talk with Shug McGahee on Thursday, and he's very excited about Never Explain. What he really likes is he knows that the turf is going to be firm at Colonial Downs, one of the reasons he decided to bring this horse down, and kind of has an interesting double here with not as much for the day. And what I mean by that is Never Explain set the track record in the Dinner Party Stakes at Pimlico over Preakness weekend, just like Nagarok did. And so who knew, as we were watching the Preakness back in the middle of May, that these two horses setting track records would be at Colonial Downs in the middle of August. So Never Explain, I think, is an interesting horse. He likes Chaminade as a rider. He's had a lot of success. He kind of spoke very openly about the luck that he's had with Chaminade. I'm sure Vincent would probably call it skill, but it's an interesting angle here. And then, of course, Michael Stidham with Catnip. This is a horse that one broke his maiden at Colonial Downs, didn't do all that well in the Virginia Derby as a three-year-old, but has kind of had a great rebirth as a four-year-old, winning the Monmouth Stakes at Monmouth, of course, and very competitive in the United Nations. So I think Catnip is an interesting horse here. That's one of the horses that we'll recognize very quickly at in the paddock at Colonial. Has ties, just oozes of being a local horse here for Susan and John Moore. So Rock Emperor is interesting. You know, look at the jockeys that are coming in for this race: Lizcano, Velazquez, Castellano, Gaffleone, Brian Hernandez, Florent Giroux. These are national jockeys coming in. So interesting to see how Strong Tide does with that English Channel connection. But I think I'm going to go with Never Explain. I'm rooting for these two record holders, maybe not to set records at Colonial. If they run close to their times, they'll do that, that they ran in May. But I'm just looking for them to both win on the card later today.
All right, Nagarok in the Secretariat, Never Explain in the Arlington Million, Nick Hahn, Nobody's Covered Virginia Racing for more years or with more passion than he is. You can check his Nick's Picks out every day of live racing from Colonial Downs on theracingbiz.com. Nick, thanks so much. Good luck this afternoon.
Hey, good luck. Looking forward to seeing you later on today.
One trainer who's going to be represented on the Colonial Downs Stakes card and also going to be represented Sunday in the two Laurel Park Stakes is Graham Motion, the Kentucky Derby winning trainer of Animal Kingdom, multiple Breeders' Cup wins, including with Better Talk Now and Sharing, and all kinds of good horses have come through the Graham Motion barn over the years. He's going to join us right now to talk about the horses that he's got in the stakes at Colonial and Sunday in the stakes at Laurel.
Graham, thanks you so much for taking a little time to join us here on Off to the Races. You've got horses going everywhere this weekend, Laurel, Colonial Downs, and all kinds of stuff. So probably going to keep you pretty busy. Let's start at Colonial. You got Nagarok going in the Secretariat. How is he coming into this one?
Yeah, I mean, I've been very happy with him, Frank, since he ran last time. We kind of pinpointed this weekend as his next start. I know we entered him in Saratoga, but this was always my intention, really, was to run here. I like the mile for him. I like the timing. So, no, I've been very happy with him.
Now, he ran just a gigantic race, particularly, well, he's actually run a whole bunch of good races, which we'll talk about, but he ran a gigantic race. He set the Pimlico track record in the Jimmy Murphy Stakes two starts ago. That was quite a performance as the favorite, but he went 133.11, which is quite a time. And actually, if he does that again, he's going to be right around the Colonial track record. You ever have a horse set two track records that close together?
I very much doubt I have, to be honest.
Is that anything you look at as a trainer?
No, not at all. I mean, look, I'm lucky to have this guy. He's a very talented horse, but no, we don't really look at, you know, track records. I guess they're there to be broken, but I actually think I had one at Keeneland for a horse that Sam Huff trained called, that Sam Huff owned, called Bursting Forth, which I always see come up on the stats. So look, it's a cool thing to have, but it's not something I look to.
Now, he followed up the Murphy. I thought he ran really courageous race in the Manila at Belmont. They went really fast early and set it up for more than looks to come get the money. But I guess I'm wondering, would you have preferred he be a little bit off that pace?
Ideally, yes. I think he kind of caught Flavian off guard the other day. He was very sharp. And I think the one turn mile is always a little tricky for horses like that. It's harder to get them to settle. You know, and I'm hoping with the two turns here at Colonial, you know, Flavian should be able to get him to settle going into the first turn.
Yeah, because when in the Murphy, he was able to sit back three or four lengths early and then make his big move, which was a big move. So I'd be interested to see. There is other speed here, including Mo Stash. So they're certainly you're not going to need to be on the lead, that's for sure, right?
Sure, exactly.
So then one race after the Secretariat on – really, this is a – it's quite a thing. It must be interesting. You've been coming to Colonial for a while to see races of this caliber contested there. It's quite a development over the last few years.
Yeah, it's a fantastic – now fit for these races from Arlington. You know, what better place to have them on at Colonial on such a great turf course? Probably one of the best turf courses in the country, I would say, right now.
Yeah, I would imagine that's what people seem to say. And it has to help your business and that you have a lot of the kinds of horses that fit in races like this, having Colonial back and then these kinds of races got to help you out.
No doubt. I mean, the fact that it's closer to home, it's huge for us.
Talking with Graham Motion here, trainer of a whole bunch of horses in races. Now, let's one race after the Secretariat is the Beverly D. You've got Romagna Mia, who's going to make her first start for your operation after racing in Italy and France. What can you tell her about? Can tell us about this filly?
Yes, I haven't had her very long. She came to me obviously after her last start. In July, so I've had her about a month. She had one good work last weekend. Barry, you know, brought her over to the U.S. to point for this race. So she's been very straightforward. She's kind of handled everything I've asked her to do, and you know, hopefully she can be competitive on Saturday. I don't see why she wouldn't be.
Is it a challenge for horses? I mean, she raced in July, then she has a transatlantic trip to come to your operation, and now she's racing back, you know, just about a month later. Is that tough on horses?
I think it can be. I mean, I think she's handled it probably better than some have before. You know, and the weather's always a factor, the heat, so that's a concern. But I've been very happy with how she's trained up this race, and I think timing-wise, I think she's, you know, she should be ready to go this weekend, hopefully.
Are these horses that you're thinking, if things sort of shake out in an ideal fashion, are you thinking Breeders' Cup for these horses down the road a piece?
Look, I think if either one of them were to put up a good performance on Saturday, that would be a possibility. I don't really think too much about the Breeders' Cup for another month or so, but you know, it's always in the back. I guess it's always in the back of your mind. You hope to have one of these guys that's going to take you there, right?
Yeah, I would imagine so. When I owned horses, they were never the kind that I had to think about the Breeders' Cup. So I'll take your word on that. So, you got Johnny V in the ride, which perhaps tells us something about what everybody thinks about this filly.
I mean, look, Johnny was coming anyway, so I'm not going to make too big a deal of that. He was coming, and we were able to hold him down for this race. He didn't have a mount already in this race, so. But we did book these mounts, you know, a good time ago, so he had other options, I guess. But yeah, it's huge to have Johnny riding.
Yeah, for sure. So, all right, that's a couple of starters for Graham Motion at Colonial Downs. I want to kind of switch to the B team a little bit. You got a couple other starters in a pair of three-year-old stakes at Laurel on Sunday, the Searching for the Fillies and the Bald Eagle Derby for the boys. And we were talking off air, you've got kind of another horse that raced primarily abroad in. You're going to have to pronounce the name for me, Graham.
I mean, I don't know if we're right, but we've been saying Spilling Big.
Okay.
I'm not quite sure if that's the right pronunciation or not. But, yeah, we kind of threw in the deep end a little bit in the Belmont Oaks. She ran creditably. She was only beaten a couple of lengths. Mm-hmm. I just thought this made more sense for her next start. I didn't want to go back into the Saratoga Oaks. I thought I wanted to find a more conservative spot for her.
And is your feeling that if she takes a step forward here, that you can always get back to those kinds of races later?
Yeah, I think so. And maybe we've done it backwards. You know, maybe we should have started off with a more conservative spot, but this was a race that they kind of picked out for her when she came to me. So, and look, she certainly didn't disgrace herself. She's another one.
No.
Just really handled everything well. She's fitted in well. I don't think the distance is going to be too much of a problem. I'm not necessarily sure she has to go over the longer distances. So, you know, and hopefully it's a little bit of a class relief on Sunday.
Yeah, it should be. Although this is a pretty interesting race. This race came up maybe a little saltier. Let me ask you this question. Did it come up a little saltier than maybe you thought it would?
Yeah, it's a solid group. I mean, it seems like everywhere right now, there's very solid three-year-old fillies and colts. So for the grass races. So, yes, look, it's not an easy spot by any means.
And Jorge Ruiz going to be in the irons. He's somebody you've been using a lot in the last couple of years, it seems like. Do you feel like he's particularly good on the grass?
I do. He actually reminds me of Ramon a little bit. I think he has a similar style. He's kind of a sympathetic rider, but he can also be pretty aggressive if he needs to be. So, you know, we've had a lot of luck together. Glad to have him on these guys.
Yeah, no, he does a nice job for sure. And then finally, last race, we'll cut you loose. The Bald Eagle Derby going a mile and 3/16. Once again, Ruiz up on Data Man. How's Data Man approaching this race?
Yeah, I mean, he was really impressive when he won at Delaware. I don't know what he beat that day, but I think he won by 10 or 11 lengths. So I wasn't particularly looking to get him back on the grass, but I just felt this fit his schedule, and I didn't see other great options. You know, he's a horse I've always liked a lot. I think the fact that he won the other day was more the fact that we'd given him a little freshening, given him a break, and I think he's just done well with it. So I think it didn't really matter what the surface was. It was more about the time that he'd had, hopefully.
Did that lead you to, I mean, he's going to be coming into this one with maybe about 6 weeks off. Did that lead you to want to give him a little more space than you might otherwise?
Yeah, one of my worst angles as a trainer is running horses too back too quickly when they run such a big race off the layoff. I just find, you know, that first race often takes more out of them than you realize. And I'm always a little reluctant to run horses back too quickly when they run such a big race like that.
All right, so Data Man in the Bald Eagle Derby. And have you won? I confess I should have looked this up before, but didn't. Have you, the races at Colonial, the Secretariat and the Beverly D, have you won those before?
I have never won one of those races. No, I have not. I've tried umpteen times, but I've never. I've had very limited runners in the Secretariat. I know I've run quite a few in the Beverly D, and I've run even back to Bellator now. He ran in the Arlington Million, but I've never had any luck in those races. It was always kind of a bucket list race for me.
So this could be a good weekend if things shake out for you.
Yes, it would be. I would take one of them. That would be fine.
You're not greedy. One will be one.
Exactly.
All right. Graham Ocean, thank you so much for joining us here on Off to the Races. Good luck, and we'll see you at Colonial this weekend.
All right. Thanks for having me. See you then.
Thank you. That was trainer Graham Ocean wishing him good luck with his barn in the graded stakes at Colonial Downs today, and then the stakes tomorrow as well, Sunday at Laurel Park. So good stuff there. He's got a bunch of good runners in the barn. Should be interesting. Looking forward to seeing Nagarok and others as they race this weekend. Now we are at the last segment of the program. Wanted to bring in John Piazzik of the Maryland Horse Breeders Association, get us caught up on some things going on around Maryland, and also have him help us handicap. We need all the handicapping help we can get. Have him help us handicap the Laurel Stakes on Sunday, the Searching and the Bald Eagle Derby. Here's my conversation with John Piazzik. John, good morning. Thanks for joining us here on Off to the Races Radio. A lot going on with the Maryland horse breeders these days, and we're sneaking up on the Big T, Timonium Meet. I think you guys got an event to kind of kick things off there.
That's right. August 28th, the Monday after the opening of Maryland State Fair, Fran Burns, a well-known figure to fair goers. She's a member of the State Fair Board of Directors, gives backstretch tours during the Timonium meet, and is also one of the ever-popular Sunrise tour guides. She'll be giving a talk on the history of the Maryland State Fair and her own experiences with the fair here at the Maryland Horse Library, located at 321 Main Street in Reisterstown, at 4 o'clock on Monday, August 28th. Admission is free. To learn more, go to marylandhorse.com/library. As part of our ever popular fourth Monday series, had big crowds for our last two fourth Monday events, hoping for another big one here.
MarylandHorse.com is the website there. Fran Burns, folks may remember we had her on this program back at Preakness time talking about the sunrise tours at Old Hilltop. She does something similar at Timonium. So if you want to kind of get behind the scenes at Timonium, listen to go check out Fran's talk at the Horse Library in Reisterstown. What else you got coming up there, John?
Two big events coming up here at the Maryland Horse Library on August 30th, our Howard and Sandra Bender educational series rolls on with a seminar on turf grass management. Jeffrey Reinhardt from the University of Maryland and Logan Freeman, the grass course supervisor for the Maryland Jockey Club. They'll be by talking about the importance of maintaining a good turf grass surface. That's August 30th at 5:30, part of our Bender series done in conjunction with the University of Maryland. Once again, go to marylandhorse.com/library to learn more. And we're also happy to announce our new book club done in conjunction with the Wasabi Venture Stable Book Club. It's a great way to explore some horse-themed reads and connect with fellow horse lovers. Our first book in the series, The Great Sweepstakes of 1877 by Mark Schrager. Go to marylandhorse.com/library/book club to learn more, purchase the book, and sign up for the book club newsletter. We'll have our first meeting on September 5th at 7:30 through Zoom. Hope you can join us.
marylandhorse.com/library/book club to join the book club. Fran Burns event coming up August 28th. And the Bender event about turf management coming up August 30th. Anything else you want to flag for us from the Maryland Horse Breeders Association, John?
Well, we are less than 2 months out from the Jim McKay Maryland Million. Our ever-popular club table is currently on sale. And partnership opportunities still available. Head to marylandmillion.com to learn more about those. You can also follow the Maryland Million Watch, updated every Monday, to get the updates on top Maryland Million contenders.
All right. Maryland Million, always a great day. Maryland's Day at the Races coming up October 14th. All right, John, while I got you here, let's turn our attention. We got a couple stakes at Laurel on Sunday, an unusual Sunday card, or not an unusual card, but unusual to have stakes on a Sunday in Maryland. We've got the Searching going a mile and a 16th for three-year-old fillies, and then the Bald Eagle Derby going a mile and 3/16 for straight three-year-olds. A lot of three-year-old turf racing this weekend. I got the Grade One Secretariat also at Colonial Downs on Saturday. So anyway, let's dive in. Searching is a pretty interesting race. A couple of pretty nice horses in this group, John.
Pretty good field. Field of 9+2, main track only. I have to imagine Grand Motion has a favorite in here. That's number 8, Sperling Bayog, making her second start in the U.S. She made her American debut last time out against much better horses in Belmont Oaks. Got stuck behind a typically slow New York pace. Kicked on okay late, but ended up beaten by 2¾ lengths. Takes a dropping class against easier rivals. Her only possible kryptonite in here is that it's not a race with a lot of pace once again. So it is very possible that she gets behind more slow fractions. I think on pure ability, she's the best horse in the field and has to be respected. Not quite sure if she'll be the best Wind Valley, however.
Well, who do you think may be? Notably, that horse, no rider named in the early PPs that I printed out on Thursday. And he does have one named. Grand Motion does have one named on No Show Sammy Joe, Jorge Ruiz up there. Wonder if that's a sign that this horse may not post. But where would you look for, where do you think you want to look for value, John?
I think both of Mike Trombetta's Maryland breds have a shot in here. Number 1, Life, Love, and Laughter for the Elkstone Group. Won an off-the-grass event at Saratoga back on July 14th, but ran well in her prior grass starts. Just missed at Belmont Park by a neck last time out, for two starts back. Rally sat off the pace and fought hard in the lane. Also ran well while near the pace as a two-year-old in a few tries against Dake's Company last year. She has the rail, gets shoulder muscle aboard, should show speed, and could find herself with a pretty lonely lead. Number 11, Naval Empire for Randy Larry Johnson and RDM Racing Stable, the same team who sent out Skies Not Falling to victory in the Maryland Million Turf Sprint last year. They have Naval Empire in here. This one ran a career-best figure on the Brisnet scale last time out. Tracked a pretty honest pace, kicked away, and won by four lengths. So while she gets, while she had a good pace set up that day, everyone else in the field also had a good trip, and she exploded away from left in the lane, won as much the best. Getting better with every start, should show a pretty powerful punch and will likely be a much better value than Sperling Bayock.
Yeah, I imagine that's right. Gets the Bug Boy Axel Concepcion in the irons there. Naval Empire breaking from the outside, going a mile and 16th. All right, Bald Eagle Derby, three-year-olds going a mile and 3/16. What say you, John Piazzek?
Ari Gold, number three, the classiest horse in this bunch, a stakes winner, won the pulpit in just about gate to wire style at Gulfstream Park last December. Also broke his maiden in gate to wire style at Aqueduct in November. Todd Pletcher may have had his sights set on races like the Belmont Derby and the Saratoga Derby with them. However, he went to the sidelines in mid-January, came back to the work tab in mid-May, had a bit of a tough setup in his first start off the layoff last time out at Saratoga on July 20th. He had to face older horses. He couldn't get to the front and ended up flattening out in the last 16th. He's worked well since then. Have to figure he'll improve second off the layoff, and if he does, he could be very tough to beat.
Who are you looking at for possible upset bids?
I'll try another Maryland brand here. Number six, Circling the Drain for Brittany Russell and Sheldon Russell, the ever dangerous trainer jockey combo, a previous undercard alum. Ran a solid third in the James Murphy in his grass debut two starts back, then looked like much the best on paper against Maryland Bred, allowing foes last out, and ate that field for lunch, took him up on the outside, won by three lengths, beat Crabs and Beer, who looked like a pretty solid horse going in, as did Riccio. Circling, Kedrine, beat them both, like he had them tied to a pole. This one should only get better. Third time on the grass, has had two recent bullet works. If Ari Gold, for whatever reason, falters on the lead, Circling Kedrine is most likely a candidate to pick up the pieces.
Yeah, and I think that Murphy effort, is notable there. Nagarok, who won that race, looks like a pretty okay runner, and Nagarok set a course record for a mile at Pimlico, going 1:33.3. So, that finishing third there, no shame in that.
Not at all. And we'll also see Nagarok in the Secretariat later today at Colonial Downs. So if he wins that race, it'll boost Circling Drain stock quite a bit.
All right. So two stakes on the docket at Laurel on Sunday. Again, note that Sunday, searching stakes for the three-year-old fillies, Bald Eagle Derby for the three-year-olds. Any final thoughts on these races, John?
Well, I am very happy. So on Sunday, I think it's done that way. They are not going head-to-head against the stakes at Colonial. Allows trainers and jockeys to ride in both. Both look like fantastic races. Great card overall on Sunday. Plenty of good undercard action as well. So if you're in the area, come on out. Should be a great day at Laurel.
You heard it here first. All right. John Piazzek from the Maryland Horse Breeders Association also handicaps Laurel every day of live racing on theracingbiz.com. John, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Frank.
That'll do it here for another episode of Off to the Races Radio, powered by The Racing Biz. Thanks so much for spending a little bit of your Saturday morning with us. Thanks, too, to our show's supporters, including Richard Hackerman, attorney at law, the Maryland Horse Breeders Association, True Valor, and Wanamakers.com online horse auction site. Thanks so much to all of our guests this week. Our guests included Jill Byrne of the VEA, Richard Hackerman, attorney at law, Nick Hahn, John Piazzik of the Maryland Horse Breeders Association, and trainer Graham Roche. Keep up with racing and breeding all week long on The Racing Biz, theracingbiz.com. You can tune in next Saturday at 10 a.m. here on Baltimore Positive to hear the independent voice from Mid-Atlantic Racing and Breeding. My name's Frank Vespi. Have a great week, everybody, and we'll see you in the winter circle.